One half of Sunday's World Cup final is set. After a 1-0 win over Belgium this afternoon, France is through to the World Cup final. They will take on the winner of tomorrow's second semifinal, noon, for kickoff between England and Croatia. It's Tuesday, which means our good friend Tommy Wealdon Jr. joins us, our World Cup analyst. Hello, Tommy. How are you, pal?
I'm good, pal. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. I mean, how nervous are you for tomorrow's game now that we're less than 24 hours away?
Cool as a cucumber.
Hey, I like it.
Because I'm not coaching or playing.
I like it. Well, that's good. And we'll talk about that game in a second. But just your thoughts on France being able to get past Belgium and back to the World Cup final they go.
Yeah, I think they deserved it, to be honest. I think they looked more dangerous going forward. They had a bit more firepower. Interesting, the decider, because at this level now, it's, you know, the Brazil and Germany 7-1 was just, you know, an anomaly in terms of a semi-final win in the last World Cup. But I think this one, the margin of error between the elite is very, very small. So a set play, another one, I think we're close to about 60% in terms of goals scored from set plays or restarts. So it just shows that the defense is really locking up this time. So teams are having to find different ways to win. But I do think France looked the better. I believe, you know, the games that Belgium have played leading up to it, with the heroic comeback against Japan when they were 2-0 down, to the, you know, game against Brazil that looked like it had sapped them. They didn't look the same type of team against France. So, you know, France are in the final again. They were in the Euro final 2 years ago, and they're in the World Cup final today, on Saturday.
A lot of people seem to, on the outside, be pointing at France saying, hey, these guys are the World Cup favorites, regardless of who wins tomorrow between England and Croatia. Is that how you see it? Is France kind of the favorite, or is it too close to call?
Yeah, no. Even going into it, you know, personally, I felt Germany would have another good run at it, because they're just they epitomize what a team is, and, you know, we'll prove them wrong with there. But France, you know, and Brazil were also up there as powers, and Spain, up until they fired their coach 2 days before, you know, they were looking strong. But France just keep finding a way, and I believe, you know, tournaments and these teams peak at the right time. And it was only the eventual winners, Germany, that knocked them out in the last World Cup in a 1-0 game themselves. But the French are actually hitting gear now, and you look at, they've got a bit of everything. You look at, you know, going forward, they've got Mbappe and Griezmann and Giroud. You know, in midfield, they've got Pogba and Kante that breaks up the play. And at the back, Varane and Umtiti, two of the best, you know, centre-halves we've got around. And Lloris, their captain, is a very, very strong goalkeeper.
So take us through the, let's start with France, because they were victorious. Take us through their journey. You mentioned they were in the Euro final 2 years ago. Here they are off to the World Cup final. How has France built this team back to being a powerhouse once again? And take us through their journey to being one half of the World Cup final on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, for them, it's been a series of games. I mean, they came out of the group with Denmark, didn't they? So I think for them, it was a strong one. They didn't really light fires, but then they faced Argentina in the knockout round. And although it was a 4-3 game and one the neutrals would go for, you know, that was close. It was actually very comfortable from the French side, and they were far superior to the Argentinians, and it was 4-2 until the last, you know, kick of the game. I did believe that the way the Uruguayans were going, that they could be that type of team, because they're strong defence and, you know, Suarez and Cavani. But I think without Cavani, it was just left to Suarez and his attack and prowess, and I think that hurt them. And the French, I was very impressed with the way they took things on the front foot. They didn't allow the Uruguayans to set up their defensive block. They always were thinking forward, driving, dribbling. And we're noticing this the more in this World Cup, to disrupt these hard, deep block defences. It takes a little bit of a dribbling, and with Griezmann and Mbappe and Pogba, these guys are driving at them and showing it. And today, you know, they had the quality that was the difference maker against Belgium.
And as for Belgium, we talked after they advanced to the semifinals and they were able to beat Brazil. You said, this is Belgium showing us that they are no longer pretenders. They are truly contenders. Is that the takeaway regardless? I know they aren't able to advance to the final. They'll play in the third place game. But is that the biggest takeaway from the Belgians and their tournament?
Massively. I mean, they've shown the world that they're not just, you know, the pretenders. They are. They're serious contenders to be there or thereabouts. Well, FIFA ranked third in the world based on their previous results. For them, You know, they've got some talent, and we talked about evasive dribblers, and with Hazard, he's quality. He was always finding space. He did it against Brazil. Today, I thought the French played them very, very well because there was a different formation. They had the fullbacks and the wingers that were contributing to the defence, and Hazard had to keep dropping deeper to get on the ball. You look at De Bruyne and what he's done with Man City and what he's doing now for Belgium. Lukaku didn't quite get it as he got it into the knockout rounds. But they've got some attacking prowess, and they're very accomplished coming out of defence. They've got a young underbelly now coming through. If you look at Tielemans, he's one that's been used sparingly coming in. Batshuayi kept coming off the bench. There's still depth there, and they're going to be around for many years to come.
Tommy Wealdon Jr. is our guest today. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. He is our World Cup analyst, as one half of the World Cup final is set. Derek?
Tommy, when you look ahead to the other semifinal, wondering what we're going to see in that match between England and Croatia, because England really hasn't faced a team as good as Croatia yet. I mean, they really battled Belgium's B team earlier in the tournament. But Croatia maybe dealing with some fatigue going into the semifinal. How do you see that shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, I think Croatia have shown us a different side because they've had to come through. For me, that was my dark horse of the bunch, and they proved nuts at. But what's impressed me about Croatia is they have an unbelievable midfield. Now, their midfield man-for-man is better than England's, no question, because of the way Modric can play, the way Rakitic can play, Bosovic, all these players that are playing at a high level are wonderful on the ball, great distributors. So it's going to require some interesting tactics from England, how to nullify that and stop that. They're looking tired. And you look at Subasic, their goalkeeper that's made the wonder saves in the PK shootouts. You know, his hamstring was tight. They go into extra time and being pegged back and then going into PKs. That's going to take its toll. We've seen that a little bit today with Belgium, after a Brazil game. It's going to take its toll at some point. England, were the better team against Sweden. They had their PK drama against Colombia in the round of 16. But, we can't discredit what the Swedes have done, really, because let's not forget that they came out of a group that knocked out the Dutch in their qualifying. They also knocked out Italy in their crossover. They were in the same side and finished second to France in the qualifying rounds. And they've come through their group, which had Germany in. So I think, to say they haven't really played anyone yet is not really crediting the work that Swedes have done. And we celebrated the successes of how Iceland did it in the Euros. I think Sweden did their country proud in the way they played as well. So I think England have had some different type of tests, but Croatia will, on paper, be the best one they face. But as we've seen here in this World Cup, the World Cup's not played on paper.
You mentioned Modric for Croatia. Would Lingard kind of be the key for England?
Yeah, and definitely in terms of the attacking bit, we were, from looking at some of the English media and things, there's a little bit talk about, Sterling, is he doing it? He's not having his finishing. And yeah, he hasn't really finished yet, but he's, like we talked about, Hazard. He's that type of player that will dribble and drive to disrupt a defence. I think he's important to England's attack. Dele Alli scored in the last game as well, and he hadn't looked like his previous self. But now he's got, it was like Neymar in the early rounds. Once he gets a goal, he started to play a little bit more loose. I think Dele Alli's much the same. He wants to get a bit of confidence. Harry Kane hasn't scored for a couple, but he's been the leader of the front line for the English. So it will, if England can win the midfield battle and nullify the threats of Modric and Rakitic's passing ability and use the pace on the outside, with Trippier and Young, I think it could be a very, very interesting matchup.
Two of the biggest sporting events in the world could collide on Sunday, Tommy. You've got the World Cup final taking place, and England, I would say they have at least a 50-50 chance to be playing in that final. And you've also got the men's final at Wimbledon at the All England Club, and they're going to be played around the same time. Do you think it's a mistake for these two organizations not to get together and figure something out that would allow the spotlight to shine on both soccer and tennis?
Not really. And the reason being, there's so much tradition in both. The World Cup can't plan around where or where not England are going to be. And Wimbledon have to, they've got their wonderful tradition. They're all white and it's very regal in terms of how they perform. I think what we'll end up seeing is that you'll have the tennis fans, cheering and things like that and getting involved with it in between sets. So I think it could just bring the country together because that's what we've needed in a long time. You've seen it with, everybody singing It's Coming Home and all the GIFs and memes that are going around on the internet. That, it's coming together and it's, you talk about society as well. It's great way to bring a country together, especially with all the Brexit scenarios that have been going on. Football is definitely being the glue that's bringing the country back together. And we're seeing that not just with England, but for many countries around the world that are having some successes at the World Cup, Russia being another one.
It's funny you mentioned that, Tommy, because I was watching the British Grand Prix on Sunday, and when England scored their first goal, there's what, 250,000 people at Silverstone, and the entire place went nuts. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It was Saturday, actually. It was exactly what you're talking about. When one sporting event's going on, everybody else is watching the World Cup too. I thought it was pretty cool. So I think that's a good example when you talk about Wimbledon too. What about this English side? Is this the best English team since 1990? Because it's the last time they've been this deep at the World Cup. Or have they had better teams between 1990 and the team that they're fielding right now?
The word you just said is exactly it. Teams versus players. They've had their, you know, what we was quoted as our golden generation was the Beckham, Scholes, Ferdinands, Lampards. That was that, you know, 2006, 2002 type of group. This is definitely the best team, and we're seeing this in many sports now. You know, you look at the Las Vegas Golden Knights going all the way to the championship based on team spirit, culture. We've referenced the New Zealand All Blacks as, you know, most winningest rugby team on the planet. England have just come together. You know, we talk about, you know, was I nervous about, you know, tomorrow's game? And today at training, you know, England are doing their fitness warm-up with a rubber chicken. I think what they've embraced is the quirky British humour. They've infused it with the hard, humble, hard work mentality. The lads, young lads, when they're doing, there's a really neat stat that there's been, you know, the England team have played 800 league appearances collectively outside of the Premiership, which they've focused on saying they haven't, you know, been given a golden spoon and said, right, you're playing at the World Cup like previous generations. They've all had to find their way through the leagues and rise to the occasion. So, in terms of best team since 1990, 100%. Best players, will, you know, that will follow.
Final thought for you. It's not on the World Cup, but got to get a comment on Cristiano Ronaldo, because that is a big-time transfer that we've seen today. What, $105 million is what he was bought for today?
He's the king of the brand, isn't he? I mean, the CR7, you know, we've seen it with, I think, David Beckham was a pioneer for it, and you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic took over it. You know, CR7 is everywhere. So he's won what he's needed to win with Real Madrid, going 3 back-to-back, you know, Champions League finals. He's won the La Liga there. He's won the Champions League and league titles with Manchester United. He's moving to another powerhouse. You know, let's not sugarcoat it. Juventus are the best team in Italy. They're, you know, back-to-back Serie A titles. He's going there to win another championship to add to his legacy. And they're also, you know, they also go deep into the Champions League. So will he tilt the balance? They've done all their testing on him. He's got the body type of a 23-year-old athlete. So he's going to be around for a little bit longer because he's meticulous with his details. I think it's a good move because it's now time for him to improve the Italian market again. I think he's going to win again there. So from a brand perspective, he's going to make some smart things there as well.
Yep, from Real Madrid to Juventus. For 105 million euros, not dollars, 105 million euros is what the transfer
and that's
fee was
just
today.
For his rights.
Yeah.
And he negotiates his contracts on top of that. So it's that's a lot of money. But yeah, He'll make it back in jersey sales. You watch within the first week, he'll raise that money back in jersey sales. CR7 in the black and white will be synonymous, you know, this time next week.
No doubt about it, Tommy. We will talk to you on Thursday. On Thursday, we'll be previewing the World Cup final because we know who will be playing in it. Enjoy the game tomorrow between England and Croatia. We'll talk to you in 2 days, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Take care.